إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. قال تعالى: فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون. الله سبحانه وتعالى said, woe to the people who pray. And woe is an expression of great regret, an expression of anger. As in, woe to the people who pray. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ. Those who delay their salah. Allah is not saying, woe to the people who do not pray. No, they pray, but they delay their salah. I want to remind myself and you about the importance of attitude. Attitude is the foundation of everything. You choose your attitude and you choose your life. It's as simple as that. Attitude is not the first priority. Attitude is the only priority. Once you choose your attitude, your qadar is written. You choose your life. And that is what is meant in this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the attitude of the believer, of the one who is worshipping. Now, why is attitude so important? And what is the problem if I delay my salah? After all, I'm not saying I will not pray. The salah has a beginning time and an ending time. Salatul Zuhr maybe comes in at 12:30 and closing time of Salatul Zuhr maybe 3:30 or 4 o'clock. So I'm not saying I will not pray. I can argue in my head. What I'm trying to do is, I'm trying to play the role of what your personal advisor prays. He gives you this advice. He says, after all, why is there an ending time for salah? After all, there is an ending time for the salah. Why is there an ending time? So why must I pray immediately? So what if I delay it? What is the answer? The answer is to look at the attitude. Why do we delay salah? Why do we delay anything? We delay something because we give something else precedence over that thing. Yes? That's the only reason. Otherwise, why do you delay? Anytime you delay anything, whatever it is, whether it is salah, whether it is meeting a friend, whether it is reading a book, right? Whether it is watching a game, whatever it is, if you are delaying it, automatically it goes without saying that you have given something else precedence over the thing that you delayed. And that is the issue of attitude. So with respect to salah, if you delay salah, then what does it mean? That you gave precedence to something else. Now what else? Which is the thing which is more important than going in the hudur of our Rabb? Which is more important? So if I give precedence to something else, what am I saying? I'm saying, Allah, hold on, wait, I'll come, wait. I got something else. You know, I got to watch this football game, or I got to this wicket on this cricket. Or maybe I got to meet my boss. I'm not saying I just gave. Maybe some important thing. Maybe I have this client call that is coming. I have to speak to this client. This client is in America. You know, I am reminded, when I used to live in the US, I was in Jamaat in a place called Bridgeport. And in Bridgeport, the masjid is an old bank. So the masjid actually has a huge big vault inside in the middle of the masjid. Big, you know, steel door and all that. Now there was a 7-Eleven shop, a gas station and a 7-Eleven shop right across the street from the masjid. And this is one of the side roads. I mean, I'm not talking about the highway. It's a side street you can walk across the street. So we went to this 7-Eleven to, you know, get something to eat. And we found that there was this Muslim brother who owned this place, and there was this guy, also a Muslim guy, who was on the, you know, counter. So we asked him, I said, you know, please come to the masjid. You know, Tabligh people, you always go invite people to the masjid. So you invite people to somebody else's house, not to your own house, to the house of Allah. So we say, please come to the masjid. He said, no, I have no time. I said, Allah, subhanAllah, you have no time. I have no time. So then I asked him, I said, what about Juma? And this is literally across the street. I mean, if you throw the stone, it will fall in the masjid. It's so close, right? So I said, what about Juma? He said, oh, wallah, I have no time. I said, no time for fourth salah in the masjid? No time for Juma in the masjid? I said, what do you do when you go to the toilet? So he said, I asked him spontaneously, he answered me spontaneously. I said, what do you do when you go to the toilet? He said, I put a board saying, closed. Then I go to the toilet. So I said, then going before Allah is less important than going to the toilet. For you, before going before Allah is less important than going to the toilet. Because you can put a board saying closed when you want to go to the toilet, but you cannot put the board saying closed to go before Allah. Subhanallah. Attitude, issue of attitude. And that guy is slogging his butt off in that place, working 14 hours, 16 hours a day to fill his belly, and he's selling all kinds of haram stuff. And all he has to do to go and change his muqaddar is to go in the masjid and ask Allah. Ajib, see how shaitan plays games with you, eh? He plays games with you. The one who writes your qadr. Somebody sent me an email yesterday, or day before yesterday. And he said that, the sheikh said that if in Laylatul Qadr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes the qadr of people. He said, but if my qadr is already written, what's the point in making dua? Because the qadr is already written. So the sheikh said, make lot of dua because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes your qadr. But he said, if Allah has already written the qadr, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the pen is lifted, the ink is dry, so the qadr is written. So why should I make dua? So I told him, I said, you should make dua because maybe Allah wrote that whatever dua this man will make in that day, I will accept it. Eh? Maybe that is what is written. The pen is lifted, ink is dry, but what is written there? Whatever he asks me on that day, I will give him. That's why you should make dua. But shaitan plays games. Believe me, just because you are getting a dalil from the Quran doesn't mean it comes from Allah, it comes from shaitan. Shaitan will give you dalil from the Quran. Shaitan will give you dalil from the hadith to make you do something which is less important. Shaitan plays two kinds of games. One is, he will actually make you go and do something which is haram. Right? So he will do this, he will try to do this. Now, inshallah, musta'an, people like you, shaitan probably has given up. He said, no, I can't make him go do haram. I can't say, go drink alcohol. He will not, he won't do it. Right? So now what is the next step? The next step is, make him choose something which has less value in comparison to something which has more value. Salah by Jama'ah has 27 times the value, is it? We have to pray salah. Never leave salah. Eh? Never leave. You're kafir, kafir. If you leave salah, you're out of Islam. Murtad. Must always pray. Right? But masjid and jama'at. Pray, man. Pray. Now. You pray right now. So just because shaitan is just because saying pray right now, it's coming from shaitan. It's not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go to the masjid. Said, go to the masjid. Pray with the jama'at. Pray with the jama'at. Ethika, for example, the one time you have in your life, when you come into the house of Allah, as I've said so many times before, you are the guest of Allah. Nanukuluna duyuf Allah. All of us are the guests of Allah. And nobody honors his guest better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one time you have of coming into the house of Allah and asking Allah and getting all your problems solved, shaitan will prevent you. He will prevent you. He will say, don't go. He will say, somebody else is going. He say, why don't you tell your friend he is there in the masjid? Please make dua for me. Your friend will make dua for you. Eh? He will give you 101 reasons why you should not go for ethika. Or shaitan will also say, and shaitan does all of this, the issue of postponing, issue of procrastinating. You say, let us memorize some Quran. He will say, no, you know what I will do? Next Ramadan, in Etikaf, I'm going to be there in the masjid 10 days, I will memorize then. Even better, I will go to the haram and make Etikaf in the haram and I will memorize there. Push it as far as possible. Allah only knows whether we will go to the haram, we won't go to the haram, what will happen, what will not happen. Allah knows that. Question of attitude. Which is more important? The Sahaba understood this because they learnt it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why their standard behavior, any need, any issue, any problem, what would they do? They go to the masjid. For everything, one stop shop, masjid. You got a financial problem, masjid. You got a health problem, masjid. You got a problem with your wife or your husband, masjid. You got a problem with children, masjid. Go to the masjid, make two rakat of salah, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, solve this for me. Ya Allah, solve this for me. Ya Allah, solve for me. And then of course they would go and make some effort, no doubt. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Laysa lil insani illa ma sa'a. So he makes some effort. Laysa lil insani illa ma sa'a. Allah said, for the man is what he makes effort for. So inshallah, that. But before the effort, they already have the result of the effort secure. Then they go out to make the effort because Allah said make the effort. So alhamdulillah, let me get some ajr from the effort also. But first get it secure, because effort does not produce results. This is another, please understand this. This is the we live in an upside down world. The upside down world tells you that if you make effort, you will succeed. Islam says if you make effort, you will not succeed. You will succeed if Allah gives you success. But why must you make effort? Because Allah said make effort. So we make effort to please Allah, not because it gives success. If effort had to give success, that guy who is sweeping that parking lot should have more success than you. Because you are sitting nicely in the air-conditioned masjid, and after the Salatul Fajr, you will sleep till Salatul Zuhr, and we have to say, As-Salatu Khairu Minanna also for Salatul Zuhr. We should add that one. As-Salatu Khairu Minanna because of Zuhr. Time to sleep. That man is working hard. I'm saying effort-wise, he is working harder, he is sweating in the hot sun, but he is success. Where is success? He is making some pittance. Whereas, alhamdulillah, Allah has given you all of this. How? In fadlillahi ta'ala. Purely the fadl of Allah. And that fadl of Allah comes by connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind myself and you, the number one priority is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get this clear in your mind. It may sound like an oxymoron, it may sound like a stupid thing. Why am I telling Muslims to say Allah should be the top priority? You know, after all, we are Muslim. And you say, Shaykh, wake up. Maybe you are sleeping. Look at my beard. Look at my topi. I am a Muslim. Why are you telling me Allah should be top priority? You know why? You know why. Go check why. Because if Allah is top priority, then how come you delay salah? If Allah is top priority, then how come you do something other than what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah is top priority, how come you ask someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah is top priority, how come you are walking around in the world when this time for itikaf, you should be sitting in the masjid? Why are you here and there? For what? So ask yourself, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala top priority or not? And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not top priority, make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala top priority, because Allah is top priority. Factor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the equation of your life, because He is in there anyway. So factor Him in your thinking, in your logic, factor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, factor the mardi of Allah, factor the satisfaction and the pleasure of Allah, because that is part of your equation in any case, whether you like it or not. If you are not going to factor that into your equation in your life, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach you, and that teaching will be painful. That will be painful. So don't do that. Don't open the door for that. Right? Do not open the door for that. Top priority, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time for salah, I will pray first, everything else can wait. And believe me, everything else will wait. There is absolutely no problem. People will wait. I have had And when people know that you give priority, people will remind you. I was in Bangalore, I was in a board meeting, and I was traveling. I live here in Hyderabad, so I was in Bangalore. It was a Friday. I forgot about the Juma, right? And that board meeting, everyone else is a Hindu. I'm the only Muslim in that place. Suddenly, in the middle of that board meeting, around 12:30, Salah is at 1 o'clock, 12:30, one of the board members, she tells me, she says, excuse me, is it today Friday? I said, yes. She said, I'm going to the mosque. She's asking me, aren't you going to the mosque? I said, my God, I forgot. He said, no problem, go. You come back, we continue the meeting. People remind you, because they know that this is a priority, they will remind you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them remind you, if you are sure that you give the priority. I went peacefully to the masjid, I did my Jummah. Although I'm traveling, Jummah is not far, now shaitan comes in. Jummah is not far. Sheikh, you are supposed to knowledge. MashaAllah, you have so much of knowledge, don't you know this? Simple masala of fiqh. I was going to South Africa, and the flight I took from here, from Hyderabad, I took a night flight, so it reaches Dubai by 12 o'clock, and then I had a 3:30 or 4 o'clock departure in the morning. So I went to the lounge. Obviously, I left here at 10 o'clock, so Isha, everything finished, did all my mamulat, landed in Dubai, and went to the lounge, had some thing to eat, and then I went to the place where the nice place to relax and all that. So I went there and I lay down there. Then the thought came to me that maybe I should pray tahajjud. So immediately, the advisor, you are traveling. Even the first salah, you are permitted khasr. What tahajjud is nafil, man. I mean, even fard, you have to pray only 2 rakat. What is nafil for that? Relax now, you peacefully, you have got another 2-3 hours for the flight. Peacefully relax here and have a nap and so on. Then you can board the plane. Yeah? So he's giving me advice. Yeah? He's giving me fiqh advice. So I gave him some more fiqh advice. I told him, see, tahajjud is nafil, I agree. But the nafil of the traveler, the dua of the traveler, the dua of that traveler in tahajjud, the dua of the traveler in tahajjud, in sujood, and I'm going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put it to the hellfire forever and ever. So I said, go make wudu, go to the musalla, go pray tahajjud. After I finish my tahajjud, then I go and let him. So shaitan will tell you all of this. Why? Because he knows he can't make you. So he will try to make you do things which have less value. So I want to remind myself and you that let us not fall into this trap of shaitan. Shaitan's job is this. He is doing his job to a level of excellence, which if we did that with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we worked to please Allah the way shaitan works to take us down into that, we would be in Jannatul Firdaus without hisab, inshallah. So let us try to do our best, inshallah. Top priority is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means the work of Allah will take number one priority. No delays. No delay whatsoever. Time for salah comes, pray. After all, we don't recite Surah Al-Baqarah in the first ayah, in the first rakat, and Surah Al-Imran in the second rakat. No, I mean, do we do that? No. How long does the salah take? 5 minutes? So let us make sure that we never ever delay salah. Yes, inshallah? Make niyyah. May Allah give us the strength and may Allah give us the importance. And as I told you, this will happen only for one reason. And that reason is, if you understand that the problems of your life will get solved by this way. And please understand, I'm not saying Allah will punish you. No, Allah, as long as you pray, Allah will not punish you, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to punish. I'm not talking about that. I am saying, convince yourself, because that is the truth. You want your problems to be solved? Go to Allah. Because there is no one who can solve your and my problems except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is only one and one who can solve all our problems. And who is that one? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalala. So go to Allah. Make i'tikaf. Go to salah. Pray. Ask Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give without a doubt. Without a doubt. There is no doubt in this. that Allah will give. Allah will definitely give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely give. I do not even say inshallah for this. Allah will give. Qat'i. Because He said He will give. He said He will give. And Allah does not tell lies. Go and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never, never, never delay. And never lose opportunities. Because wallahi, neither you nor I know how long we have to live in this world. You and I know people by name who have done i'tikaf in this masjid with us and they are not there today. They are not there today. One of them, Imtiaz, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him Jannatul Firdaus ul A'la, such a dear, dear, dear son for somebody like me, he was like my son. 24 years old. SubhanAllah, may Allah give his parents sabr and the family sabr, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him Jannatul Firdaus ul A'la bi ghairi hisab. He's not there today. He is not there today. And this is the second year that he is not there. Literally, if I sit there, I can see Imtiaz. Till today, I can actually see Imtiaz walking. I can see his face, I can see. One day I was here, some sweet or something came from somewhere, and some food came, and I didn't eat at that time, and I, after Taraweeh and so on, I was waiting, after, when I came back, Imtiaz, I said, what happened? Have you eaten? I have not eaten. Why? No, you have not eaten. I am waiting for you. SubhanAllah, Ajib. He is waiting until I come, then only he will. Why am I saying this? I am saying this because my brothers and sisters do not imagine that this happens only to others. No. One day somebody else will say the same thing about me. One day somebody else will say the same thing about you. Don't wait for that day. The time to do something is when? Now. Now. Right now. Right now. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua, and we ask Allah to give us the strength, and Allah promised to give the strength, so He will give the strength. And open our doors, make a lot of dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will solve our problems. And then inshallah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your duas. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show you your duas being accepted in front of your eyes, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show you His qudrat in solving your problem, because your problem is your problem, man. It's not a problem for the one who created the heavens and the earth. Right? What is the problem for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He is the one who gives life, He is the one who takes it away, He is the one who cures diseases, He is the one who does everything. Problem, what problem? For Allah, it's not a problem. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give you in keeping with His majesty and grace. Not in keeping with your actions or not in keeping with your dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you from His glory, from His grace, from His treasures, that which you ask and that which you did not ask. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you all of that with khair. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillah.